Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're here tonight with Christopher J. O'Shea. Christopher, how are you?
Great, sir. Here we are a couple days past tax day. We're here. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. And we're on an open show tonight, Christopher. We're going to take our listeners' calls and answer their questions. So if you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question, because when we do the open shows, you're our guest. You're the one that gets to determine what the topic is and say, this is something that's important to me. And you know what, Chris, every time somebody calls and asks a question, there's a group of other people out there that wanted to hear that question. They didn't know they wanted to hear that question, but when they hear the question, they'll say, wow, I'd like to know the answer to that too. You know, so you're not only helping yourself, but you're helping many others when you call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, you know, because normally a lot of people have a lot of the same issues. You know, that's why I took questions from our audiences when I do seminars at corporations and government retirement seminars. I say, what do you want me to answer before I leave here in an hour or 2 hours or whatever I had to talk? And, you know, it was the same questions. It was 34 questions came up over and over again. Now, they didn't always come up in the same meeting, but when you accumulated them together, you found that over time, there were 34 questions that were coming back up from everyone. So when you call and ask a question that's important to you, there's also a whole bunch of people out there that want to hear the question, the answer to that question also. So give us a call here, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call and ask a question. And we're on an open show tonight. Those that call in early, too, they're the ones that will get the most attention to their question. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. Chris, what are some topics that we want people to think about?
Well, I mean, in everything, it's just whatever they're unsure about, they need to ask questions. I was just thinking before you prompted me of the time a couple years ago when we're talking to a woman who was talking about her history, and you kept asking questions and probing, and then in the end found out that she had been widowed by somebody 35 years ago. Turned out that husband had served in Vietnam, and you remember that one, right? And so
yep.
In the end, tell them what happened.
Well, what happened ultimately was she turned out that she could claim Social Security survivor's benefits, and then she could also find out that she had the right to a VA disability or a VA widow's check from the Veterans Association. So it was quite a significant turn for her financially, a very significant turn. So yeah, it's you know, knowing the questions to ask, what can I do? How do I do it? How does this work? How does that work? You know, and so forth. So that's very important. So let's go to Jocelyn in Owings Mills, Chris.
Okay.
Hey.
Jocelyn, what can we do for you?
Hey, Drew. So I'm really curious, what is the difference in the retirement taxes of Maryland versus Delaware, and why do our state politicians do nothing to change it so Maryland's more competitive?
Well, Governor Ehrlich's been on our show numerous times, and former Governor Ehrlich, and he said, because they don't care, Jocelyn. They just don't care. It's irrelevant to them. Their constituents are the government workers, and government workers got a lot of nice little benefits in Maryland. They get up to $33,000 exclusion from their income tax return. Now, that's less their Social Security, so some government workers might not be as strong a benefit But you know, you and I don't get that if all we have is an IRA.
Right.
You know, if we're living off of the assets we accumulate, we do get our Social Security tax free, but a lot of states in the country give you your Social Security tax free. So they just don't care. But let's answer your real question is, what's the difference between the two? So from an income tax point of view, Social Security is deductible both in Maryland and Delaware. So that's a given. Number two, Delaware gives you an extra like $10,000 or $12,000 deduction of retirement income, regardless if it's from an IRA or not. Maryland only gives you extra if you have a pension, and only if it's not more than your Social Security over 33, Social Security minus $33,000. So, but here's the big one. Maryland, with the piggyback tax, is typically 8 to 9% tax rate. Delaware is only at about 6.5% tax rate. So there's a pretty big difference. But here's the key to Delaware versus Maryland. Maryland, you have a $400,000 house, you're likely to pay in $4,500 a year in property taxes. In Delaware, that house probably would only cost you $1,500 a year. And when you've been there for 10 years or more, it's going to drop down to like $1,000 a year. Delaware has no sales tax. Maryland hits you with 6% on everything. And if you go to a restaurant, they say they deserve more. If you buy wine, they say they deserve more. It's like 9% when you go to a restaurant. Or, you know, so it's you know, here I am in Florida, you know, because I just couldn't take it anymore. I said, you know, I tell all my clients, go, what the heck, when do I take my own advice, you know? And I finally did.
Got it. Well, thank you for making that a little bit more clear why everyone is fleeing to Delaware.
Yeah, you know, if you're high income, you want to go to Florida, Tennessee, something like Texas, et cetera, et cetera. If your income's moderate, $100,000 or so in retirement, you want to go to a place like Delaware, Georgia, where the property taxes and the sales taxes and the income taxes are lower, because those are the big areas you're paying. All right?
Got it. Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right, Jocelyn.
Thanks, Jocelyn.
I think we have to go to our first traffic there, Chris, or Chris Klaproth is going to give us a hard time.
Chris is shaking his head, yes. So we're going to do that. We're going to go to traffic and be back after that. Rebecca, stay with us.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Drew Tignanelli, back Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Christopher J. O'Shea. And we're on an open show tonight. You know, Tina Turner, I love that. I love it.
There you go.
Anyway,
Drew, you're just impeccable.
You know, and we're on an open show. And so if you want to call in and be a part of the show and ask your question, be the guest, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 is the way to participate and get your question answered if you have one. And like I always say, there's always somebody out there that wants to hear that question also. So feel free to call in 410-922-6680. And I'm going to go to Rebecca in 1 second, but I just don't want to say something, Chris, and that is that, you know, the Financial Consulate has the ability to sell commercials if we wanted to, but we refuse to do it. We will not sell commercials during this hour. Any commercials that run other than our own for the Financial Consulate, are ones that are for CBM and that they put on the air. And so you need to understand that we do not in any way, shape, or form endorse any financial commercial that comes on during our show in any way, shape, or form. And I just want to make sure our listeners understand that we refuse to sell it. But whatever CBM puts on, they put on. But the consulate and Drew Tignanelli and Chris O'Shea do not endorse any financial commercials other than our own, which is for the financial consulate. Anyway, with that, Chris, let's go to Rebecca. And let's give the phone number out, too, 410-922-6680. Go ahead, Rebecca.
You're in Pennsylvania, Rebecca.
Yeah, hi. I would like to hear all the 34 questions and the answers, but it would take too much time, so I'd like to hear your top 10 questions and the answers, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay? There's no way I can do the top 10. I can only do 6 or 7 in an hour.
Okay, well,
so I'll give you
3. Do 3.
I'll give you 3, okay? So the number one question that people ask when we go to a seminar is, how do I know I have enough? So, Mina, that's an obvious question. How do I know I have enough? And we go through the illustration of how to do that. You know, first you're going to look at what you're going to get in monthly income from Social Security or pensions. We go to goals. You know, we say, what are your goals? And then we go to the balance sheet and say, well, what assets do you have to reach the remainder of your goals? And then lastly, we go to evaluate what risk are you willing to take to achieve those goals? Because, you know,
You can fit in
one more. You know, well, I'll just tell you, there's two things that we talk about mandatory at every retirement. It's not part of the 34 questions. It's the two topics that are mandatory that we talk about at the first. And that is, number one, the foundation of all financial planning is what you think about money will determine everything you'll do with and for money.
Oh,
now, that's extremely important.
Risk I want to take. Yeah, I got
it. Yeah, well, but, you know, it's even more than that. Like, you know, take, for example, a client comes in and we say, you know, hey, here's a tax planning strategy you ought to implement. It's going to be wonderful for you. And they're absolutely frightened. They don't want to do it. You know, and you're thinking, well, why? You know, I mean, we do it with all our clients, and the IRS has even accepted it and approved it. No, I can't do it. Why? Because what they're thinking in their head is that the IRS is going to, they're frightened to death of anything that could potentially bring the IRS down upon them because they had some experience as a kid. Maybe the IRS did something to their parents that just frightened them, you know, and they're just shell-shocked to do it. So it's that thinking component of money management is far more important than the economics of, you know, and I have to learn how to break through those thinking components that people have. So the foundation of all planning, especially retirement planning, is what you think about money determines everything you'll do with and for money. The second thing that we want everyone to know is that there's 4 tools that you need to do a successful retirement plan. Number one, what are your goals? Number two, what is your risk that you're willing to take to achieve those goals? Number three, what does your cash flow look like? What's cash flow? It's where do you get your money from and how much do you get? And then where does it go out the door and how does it go out the door? And cash flow is the most important of all the tools. Why is cash flow so important? Well, the answer is that cash flow tells me what your budget is for retirement, because if I can see where you're spending your money, I can put together a good model as to what we can be successful with in retirement. Number two, it tells me how much you can save, if anything, extra for retirement. But number three, the most important part of the cash flow analysis is that when somebody spends $2 or $3, they don't think that it's a lot of money. You know, like if you go to the coffee shop and you buy a coffee for $3, you figure $3, I can afford $3. $3 not a lot of money. But if I buy that coffee every day of the week, $3, now I spent $21 during the course of the week. And now I have to start thinking about that $3 as $21 when I think it on a weekly basis. But then if I take that out to 52 weeks and I say, well, I spent $22 for $21 for 52 weeks, now I have to to think of that coffee shop is costing me over $1,000 a year.
Yep.
And that's why the cash flow analysis is so important. Those three components, understanding exactly what you're spending, not $3, but you're doing it sequentially day in, day out over a period of 50 weeks. That's a much different number than just $3. And then the how much can I save and how much do I need for retirement? So those are your big two big things. How you think about money will determine everything you'll do with and for money, and your full four tools. What am I trying to achieve? My goals. What risk am I willing to accept to do it? Cash flow. Where's my money come from? And the fourth tool I didn't even say was the balance sheet. What do I have and who do I owe? And understanding how that balance sheet and the importance of it. So there you go, Rebecca.
Thank you very much, Drew. Thank you.
All right, David in Pasadena, Chris.
Yeah, we got David. David, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, how are you?
And you?
Okay, I got a question about pension plans.
Go ahead.
I work for a corporation and located in Baltimore, and I've got 47 years here, and I'm retiring next September. The company has either take the monthly distribution plan or take a cash settlement. And I've been checking for the last couple of months and seeing it was. About 6 months ago, is about if I take the lump sum, it's about $560,000. And I checked last week, and it's dropped down to $480,000. Now, and I called the...
Let me explain that to you, okay?
Sure.
So if you think about it, it's the lump sum is a present value equivalent of the monthly pension. That's the way it's supposed to be designed, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you understand the principles of present value, then you also realize that if interest rates go higher, the present value goes lower. If interest rates go lower, the present value goes higher. Why? Because the lower the interest rate that you're able to get requires a higher sum of money to get you a monthly annuity of that amount. So am I making that clear to you, David?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so what happened was a few months ago, interest rates were down below 1%. Now they're back up to 1.6%. And that little bit of a shift can have a huge impact mm-hmm. on a lump sum versus annuity pension. And, you know, so that's the reason that thing took that move. And who does regulate that? I think it's the PBGC. I think it's the one who regulates what the interest rate and how to compute that interest rate, because companies used to try to compute it with whatever numbers they wanted to, and then they stepped in and said, no, these are the numbers you have to use. You have to use a certain amount of government bonds and corporate bonds, et cetera, et cetera, and that's how you get your average interest rate. And that's moved up a fair amount over the last 6 months or so.
Yes, it has, like $80,000 worth.
Yeah.
Now, I asked the people that were taking care of it to give me the information. They said it was something to have the interest rate with the IRS. Now,
yeah, well, that's called the IRS effective rates,
uh-huh,
and
okay.
so the applicable. Rates, but that's not the ones they use. They actually use a different system, and I believe it's determined by the PBGC, but don't quote me on who actually determines that. But there's a standard formula as to how many government bonds and what maturity and corporate bonds, and it's that yield that they compute that the pensions have to use to calculate a lump sum.
Now, can you look in your crystal ball and see about next September?
I think it's going to be different.
they're looking how to take our money to pay for all the stimulus?
You know, I think your pension, your dollar, your lump sum is going to be different than what it is right now. Now, you know, the key question you have to ask yourself, David, is what should I do? Should I take a lump sum versus an annuity? And the answer to that question is number one, you've got to be very careful talking to any financial advisors about this, because almost every financial advisor I've met has an economic bias that they don't seem to want to tell the client about, which is, you know, if I can get you to take a lump sum, I get to invest it, you know? Whereas we're fiduciaries, we must tell you that we have an economic bias when you ask us that question. And number two, we want to go through a fair analysis with you and point out all the benefits to the annuity versus the benefits to the lump sum, and let you make that final decision. And the number one thing we always do is a present value calculation to make sure that the lump sum they're offering me is a righteous lump sum, because they have made mistakes on those lump sum calculations. Whether it was intentional, I doubt, but I've seen mistakes made. So we want to do a lump sum calculation first, too. But the way you look at lump sum versus annuity is that annuity is very easy. You're always going to get more income with an annuity, and the annuity can never be taken from you. Whereas if you take the lump sum, you have more flexibility. You have a larger sum of money that you can leave behind to your beneficiaries.
Correct.
And, you know, and things of that sort. But, you know, there are detriments on both sides, too.
But if you could take that lump sum and move it into
Yeah, but you can move it into an annuity, but you're not going to get as much annuity as you are from the pension people. So I got to run the traffic, but it's a great question, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
Take
Bye.
Care. See ya. We're going to go to traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. So, Chris, we got a roll. We're going to go to Steve on the Eastern Shore.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Yeah. My wife passed away a little over a year ago, and I recently got contacted by her former employer about her 403B that she had.
Okay.
And also got contacted by a brokerage firm where she had an IRA. Since I'm the beneficiary on both of them, I'm just wondering what options I have for those.
How old are you, Steve?
62.
And how old was your spouse?
60.
So she was only a couple years younger than you, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the best option is likely, and I don't know all the facts, but I'm going to say high probability, the best option for you is to transfer those assets into an IRA for you. Roll it out of the 403B, roll it out of the IRA in her name, and roll it into an IRA in your name.
Okay.
And the reason that's going to be the most beneficial is because you're already over 59 and a half, so you can take the money out anytime you want to. Regardless if you leave as an inherited IRA or not. And number two, her age differential from yours isn't that great. So you're going to have to start required minimums at age 72. So no big deal if you know. So your simplest and easiest solution and best for you have children?
One, yes.
Yeah. And so the best solution for you and your children is for you to roll it over to an inherited IRA, to an IRA for yourself in your own name. That's going to be your best option. I can't imagine. Could you, Chris, any reason that he'd want to do anything different?
No.
Yeah, I think that's your best option.
Okay, all right, thank you. I have one. I earlier heard you talking about somebody who got Social Security survivor benefits.
Yes.
What is that?
Yeah, now that's going to be very. Are you still working?
Yes.
So how long do you intend to work?
God willing, probably till I'm 70.
Okay. Who made more money, you or her?
We were pretty much equal.
Okay. So here's what you do. When you turn, so you're 62, so that means you were born 1 year before me. You were born in 58?
Right.
Yeah. So when you're 66 and what's your year, Chris? You're 8 months, 66 and 8 months. Chris was born in 58 also. And did your full retirement age, 66 and 8 months?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So when you're 66 and 8 months, you get to go in and collect survivor's benefits, and that'll basically just be free cash you're going to get. And then when you're 70, you go back in and collect your own Social Security benefit. So they're just going to pay you that survivor's benefit for your wife during that 4 year or 3 year period of time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I might give you a call to, you know, set up a consult.
Feel free. We'd love to talk to you. All right, Chris. Let's.
Okay, Robert in Essex.
Yes.
Yeah, Robert. What's up?
Yeah. My question is: you stated that interest rates went up. Correct.
Yes, they did.
Okay. I got something $10,000 in savings, and it's only 0.8. It hasn't fluctuated at all.
Yeah, so you're talking about
now,
apples and oranges.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
I have $36,000 in checking. And that is way below, like 0.5%.
Right.
And, can you advise me, like, what I might do? Or
well, what you ought to do is use a virtual bank like Ally Bank or Marcus Bank. Have you ever done, you've got your money sitting in a brick and mortar bank.
It's a credit union type.
Okay, you got it at a credit union, and they're not going to pay you anything. Now, Ally or Marcus are going to give you 0.5% on your money right now. So it's not a great amount more. I mean, it's not a high rate, but it's a heck of a lot more than
1% is a lot better than.
Well, this is 0.5%, so it's about 10 times more than what they're giving you at 0.05.
So I'm not familiar with this market bank.
Well, you got to go online to get. You got to do this electronically. You don't do this. You don't drive anywhere.
That's the problem. I have a flip phone with a rotary dial.
Do you have any kind of computers?
I don't have it. No.
Now, well, that's going to be a problem then. Then you're stuck, sort of. Now, you do. Where do you live? Do you live on the Eastern Shore?
No, Essex. Essex, Maryland.
Essex, okay. So, Glen Burnie Mutual
County.
Glen Burnie Mutual Bank. You ever heard of them? You're allowed to put in. I think it's like $3,000 a year, and $3,000 a month, something like that, and they'll give you 3% on your money. So you could start slowly but surely accumulating money with them, and they'll give you like 3%. So there are some little banks around town that will do things like that. So you might want to try to look for some of that. All right, and I got to run.
It's called what?
Glen Burnie Mutual.
No, the Market Bank, right?
Marcus Bank. That's online. That's strictly online.
Okay.
So you got to have a computer. Glen Burnie Mutual, just, you know, look it up and go there. And, you should be able to get something. All right?
All right, thank you.
Who's up next, Chris?
Well, we've got Angie in Woodlawn, but we've got a break coming up here any minute, so we can try to take a quick one. Let's see if we can take it quickly. Angie, what can we do for you? A question about dividends.
Yes, I wanted to put some money away for my kids, and it's for a long term, and I want to invest monthly, but I don't want to have the capital gain. Is there something else that I can invest in?
You just use an S&P 500 index fund. Yeah, you won't have any capital gains unless they sell it. So, and they'll get dividends of 2% a year.
Okay, but there's nothing higher than that?
Well, but go ahead, Chris. This is your domain, more than mine.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you're going to get to 2% dividends, but you've got the capital appreciation on top of that. So the fund will go over time, will appreciate, will increase in value, but they're not going to kick out capital gains to you because it's an index fund. Only if one of the components of the 500 changes, will they ever send you capital gains? So you just buy it, you'll hold it, it'll kick out the dividend, but it will appreciate over time, and you can add money as often as you like.
Okay. And it's the index fund, okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Why don't you just call Vanguard, and they'll help you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
All right, take care.
We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Right now, we got to go to traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com, if your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Christopher John O'Shea, and we have nobody online, right, Chris?
We don't. Open lines, all of them.
All of them are open lines. We've got, what, about 10 minutes to go at the most, actually more like 8. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask your question and guide the conversation tonight. That's the way you do it, 410-922-6680.
So we were talking earlier about interest rates and what's used on pension lump sums versus monthly annuities, and was reminded the Pension Protection Act of 2006 addressed that. So if someone...
And who controls that? Is it PBGC now?
I don't know. It's just an amendment to ERISA. And so... it looks like they were transitioning from, they were using the 30-year treasury before then, and now they were moving towards the corporate bond rate, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I remembered, something like that. But anyway, it's a set interest rate that pensions have to use that's calculated by one governmental body of some sort. I thought it was PBGC, but I could be mistaken on that. And it's an important question, you know, when you're taking a lump sum versus an annuity. You know, financial advisors, Chris, almost always say, you know, take the lump sum. You want to have that money for your family if you die, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, that can be the right answer, but that's not always the answer.
Sure. So, yeah, and I think it is PBGC.
Yeah.
Anyways, looks like we've got Sean in Delta coming on the line. So he was there and now he's not. So we still have open phone lines. So that phone number is still the one to get a hold of us, 922-6680, 410-922-6680.
So we had a client once, 2000. It was 2000. He retired early 2000. And he had choice of lump sum versus annuity. He worked for Baltimore Gas and Electric. And he, you know, we went through the exercise and he said, you know, I really want the annuity. I want the assurance that annuity is going to be there and I'll have that income and, you know, and so forth. I said, well, then it's the right answer for you. And he took the annuity. You know, a lot of his friends all took the lump sum. And between that 2000 and 2002 bear market, many of them lost 50 to 60% of their total lump sum during that period. And he was as happy as a clam in 2004, 2005, while they were struggling to recover from their losses in that period of time. He was still clipping his annuity along the way. And so, you know, it can make a difference. You do need to go through the exercise. You cannot just make the assumption that the lump sum is always the best answer.
Sure. We've got Nick in Bel Air wants to ask about cryptocurrencies. You're following Bitcoin today and others. Where are you there, Nick?
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, good.
So my question is, and I'm in my mid-30s, and I don't believe in any of that kind of stuff. I don't even know where to go with that. But when I see some of these big funds talking about purchasing some of that, is that not saying true, but are they really doing that in retirement funds? Are they gambling on it, or is that kind of just like not real news?
No, it's true. There are big financial institutions that are considering adding cryptocurrencies to their overall portfolio. And now, is it logical? I'm only the future is going to tell Nick whether it's logical or not. You own nothing. You own less than nothing. And but you know, here's the critical thinking of cryptocurrency. So if I put a U.S. dollar into a cryptocurrency and it's acceptable around the world as a currency, okay? If the US dollar drops by 50%, let's say, that cryptocurrency theoretically should rise by 50% because my dollars are worth 50% less doesn't mean my cryptocurrency is now worth 50% less. Now, that's the theoretical concept behind it. Is it going to absolutely happen? Nobody knows because it's all supply and demand. But the theoretical concept is that it should be worth 50% more if the dollar depreciates by 50%. So there's people that are arguing that cryptocurrencies will hold their value if the dollar depreciates substantially over time, and it'll prove to be an inflation hedge. Only time will tell whether there's any truth to that.
So out of the cryptos, I saw the one guy, Ethernet guy or whatever, made billions, but it's kind of funny to me that out of Bitcoin at a couple hundred, now up to 50, down to 30 to 40, that you really haven't seen a billionaire come out and say they really made money off of it.
Well, there are people that have truly made $1 billion, or the Winklevosses definitely have made multiple billions of dollars from Bitcoin. You know, because they were one of the early investors back at, like, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 a Bitcoin, you know.
Bill Miller, formerly of Legg Mason Value Trust, who invested heavily in that, in his funds. And and so he's average cost of 500 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a significant increase, you know, 10
are
to.
Are they paying taxes on that? Or is that still a big argument?
Well, they'll pay taxes if they sell it. So, and that's a big deal. And as a matter of fact, Chris and I are just entering tax season, and we had to ask every single client, did you own or buy or sell or trade or acquire cryptocurrency? And if you did, I need to know so you can pay taxes on it. And because they're, you know, like when you sell a stock, the brokerage firm sends you a statement out saying to the IRS, hey, Nick sold a stock, man. Well, they don't do that with cryptocurrency. So, you know, the IRS is forcing the accountants to hold the client's feet to the fire and find out what they bought and sold in cryptocurrency. And let's say, Nick, you bought a cryptocurrency at 1,000 and you held it. And then at 20,000, you took that cryptocurrency and you gave enough of it to somebody to buy an automobile, like a Tesla, like Elon Musk was accepting Bitcoin. And you bought a Tesla for $45,000, okay? But you were exchanging it when it was now 20,000, no longer 1,000. That's a sale. That's a taxable situation. Are they paying taxes on it? You know, we made sure that any client told us that they were paying taxes on it. But, you know, are they telling their accountants? I have no idea. And nobody really knows for sure.
And how would you even track if they really did?
Well, the IRS is going after certain providers, brokers, clearinghouses, and things like that, and they're making them turn over their records. And with that, they're also coordinating with that voluntary admission of, oh, I forgot. And so they're starting to collect some serious money from people who have not claimed any, who are starting to claim it. So they're just going to continue to increase the pressure anywhere and everywhere they can.
Yep. So Anyway, cryptocurrencies, that's the big domain of the criminal element of the world. They like cryptocurrency a lot. That's their domain. And they're the ones that push the price higher and higher. And then the rest of these people all bail in. So anyway, good question, Nick.
Well,
very good.
I appreciate it.
All right. So, Chris, take care, Nick. So, Chris, I guess the female Chris who's on the line from Severna Park, you can address her question after the show, right?
Sure. Right. We're just about out of time.
We are just about out of time. So time flies quick when you're having fun. So we'll be back next week with another open show, right?
Yes, we will be.
Because it's not until June 2nd that I have a guest coming on. That's going to be a great one, June 2nd. But that's still 3 weeks away.
Two weeks, right. Memorial Day's fast approaching.
All right. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Just fine if you only feel what I'd like to do to you. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna